Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for the Bubba Army Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker and nose trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
What's up, Rogan?
What's up? Now we're on real radio.
That's right.
Yeah, now we're on where you can be yourself, my friend.
What the fuck? Thank God. Take off the shackles.
You know, it's like, you know, you almost really can't do a good interview with Joe if you can't be, you know, explicit. Because, I mean, that's what Joe's all about. Even though he's, you know, polished up for TV on, you know, The Fear Factor and with Dana and what have not, you know, he's a guy's guy. He speaks like we do.
Go to his comedy show.
He likes to get high. He likes to float in flotation devices. He feels bad for whores when he goes to for the strip clubs and says, I feel bad for these ladies.
I feel worse now that I have a baby myself. Real weirded out.
You just had a baby about 9 months ago, did you not? Boy or girl?
Girl.
Oh, it even makes it worse.
Way worse. I can't go to strip clubs. I'm like, I don't want to see no bad parenting. I don't want to go and see all these mistakes, these failures, these abandoned fathers.
But see, it may be a little bit different had you had a guy. You'd be like,
come on, boy.
See some titties.
Go fuck some whores.
Yeah, you know, a couple years from now, my friend.
Daddy's boy, right?
I know it's your job to keep track of all this shit, but, like, I don't know how you do it. I mean, there's so many fights and there's so much shit going on and there's always so many changes within the UFC. It's like...
I just do it because I don't ever sit down and go, hey, I got to do some research for my job. I'm just a big fan.
You just know it. Yeah.
I don't follow any other sports. I didn't even know who played in the Super Bowl. If you ask me right now, I wouldn't even know.
You don't know who played in the Super Bowl?
No, I don't know.
You're kidding me.
I'm not sure. No, I think, was Tampa in the Super Bowl?
No. It was here.
It was here.
I have no idea who was playing. I don't know who won the World Series. I couldn't name five baseball players. I can't.
Joe was chilling out in the flotation tank while the Super Bowl was going on, man.
I find them boring. I'm like, I don't want anything that, but, you know, I watch professional pool, so I'm a retard. My girlfriend gets mad because I use up all the TiVo. She's like, you got 40 pool matches.
Next thing you know, you're going to see Goldberg on there commentating on professional pool.
I did commentary on professional pool once.
Henry from New Jersey, you're on with Joe Rogan. Man, the calls are great with Joe Rogan here. Go ahead, Henry.
Hey, how's it going, Bubba?
Good.
I just wanted to ask Joe about his experiences with DMT, which form he used, whether the chemical or from the frog.
Most of the stuff comes from the frog is the 5-MeO. But no, everything I got is the chemical.
Now, what are we talking about here?
DMT is the most powerful psychedelic drug known to man.
Look at Brent. He's riveted.
Where can I get some?
Well, it's produced by your own brain, and it also exists in thousands of different plants. And it's a really weird drug because it's everywhere.
It's called DMT.
Dimethyltryptamine.
Your body makes it naturally.
Yeah, your lungs, your liver.
So how do we extract it and get some?
Your brain makes it.
Can we
kill it? Well, you know, the problem is it's really, really illegal. It's
but if your body makes it, how can it be illegal?
Well, Terrence McKenna had a great line about it. He said, everybody's holding.
The government doesn't want you to, you know, be exposed to anything that makes you think or anything like that.
Well, it's much more than making you think. It's the same chemical that your brain produces when you're in heavy REM sleep. And they believe your brain produces it in mass quantities when you die. So it literally is like a portal to the afterlife. And when you smoke this stuff,
and
you
Joe's
are
deep.
Transported into another fucking dimension.
And really?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't use those words lightly. I'm not saying like,
yeah, you're not
like
a rookie
you
here.
Think like, you know, like, wow, I'm seeing pretty lights, man. Maybe I'm in another dimension. No, you're in another fucking dimension where you're communicating with these complex geometric patterns that are made out of love and understanding. And they see right through you, and they explain to you the nature of life and the nature of matter and the nature of positive energy and negative energy, and that you're just a part of some gigantic infinite cycle that will go on forever. And the only thing that keeps you thinking that this life or that anything you do in this life is important is your ego, and that's just because of your biology.
If you came in here and you smelled like a hippie and looked like a hippie, I would call bullshit on you, but you actually know what you're talking about. And it,
well,
like, I really
well, that's absolutely
I've
true.
Read a lot of shit about it. Most of the stuff I've read about is Terrence McKenna's work, and even more from Dr. Rick Strassman. He's a doctor who did a bunch of clinical trials out of the University of New Mexico.
So how do I get my hands on some?
Well, that's where it's hard, man. You got to find a good chemist or get on YouTube or get on the internet and Google it. There's a lot of online tutorials. Well, the thing is about this stuff is that it's everywhere. You can get the Phalaris grass has it in it. There's like a bunch of different plants you can buy online that are totally legal that have abundant supplies of DMT in them. You know, there's a lot of different plants that make DMT.
It's what your body releases when you dream, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm an atheist, but I've always been fascinated by DMT because I think the only thing that I can perceive that has anything to do other than this world is dreams. Mm-hmm. There's something to dreams.
There's something weird in the fact that everyone's afraid to die, but no one's afraid to go to sleep. Everyone is afraid to shut off for the big sleep, but everyone looks forward to shutting off every night.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you go fucking, you're gone, and we don't know what that is.
Exactly.
But what we do know is that it's very similar. Dreams are very similar to DMT experiences in that when you have a DMT experience, right after you have it, you're like, holy shit, this is the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. You're like, nothing's going to be the same again. And then 30 seconds later, you're like, what was I even talking about?
Now, when's the last time?
It's just like a dream. You know,
when's the last time
you
did
that?
When's the last time you did a really good DMT deal?
I haven't done it in about 2 years.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Do you miss it?
Well, no. It's one of those things, man, where if you do it too much, it will fuck you up. For real. Not just fuck you up. Like, it doesn't fuck you up mentally, but it fucks you up psychologically.
Now, you smoke it?
The world becomes too slippery. Yeah, you smoke it.
You smoke it.
When you have this experience and you go to whatever the fuck you're going to and you communicate with... You're communicating with something that I'm not. I mean, I'm using all these words, you know, like, you know, they're made out of the patterns made out of love and understanding, but that's mostly just nonsense. What you're experiencing, there's no words for, because you can't believe that it's real. You wouldn't possibly be able to imagine this. And like one of the things that McKenna said about DMT is the only thing that you have to worry about is death by astonishment. And that really is what it's like. It's like it's so fucking mind blowing.
Now, how would you compare DMT to your float machine?
Well, it's definitely very different. The float machine, the beautiful thing about sensory deprivation tanks is that it's all controllable. Like, say if you freak out. Like, if you freak out, you're on a mushroom trip, and you're only an hour in. You're fucked. You know? You got 5 more hours, buddy. You know, good luck. You know, keep it together. Try not to have a heart attack. But if you freak out in the isolation tank, all you have to do is just get up and leave. It's instant sobriety. You can become, you know, instantly right back to baseline. You're
now,
fine.
I just got an email, Brent, from Blitz. It said DXM DMT and 5-MeO DIPT used to be sold years ago, a pure form on eBay. Is that true?
Yeah, you could buy it and from chemical companies. There was a bunch of different companies online, especially 5-methoxy dimethyltryptamine, which is actually more potent than the NN dimethyltryptamine that gives you the visions. There's a bunch of different. There's psychedelic deep. Drugs that are still legal.
Brent, how did you not know
about
this shit?
That will fuck you up, man. How about salvia divinorum?
Oh, I love
salvia. We used to do that on the air.
They just made it illegal.
Yeah, they made it here. They made it illegal.
There's another drug out there.
But there's no reason to make it illegal. Why don't out, they fucking make cigarettes illegal.
It's the and it's the root of the sage plant. How can that be
illegal? It's all about cash.
The government gets their VIG. That's why cigarettes are not illegal.
How can that be illegal, Joe? It's the root of sage. How can it be illegal, buddy?
It grows in the ground.
Parsley, sage, rosemary.
Spice Gold is another one that's out on the market. That's
what is that?
Spice Gold. It's very similar to weed, except it's more expensive. And
really?
It does the same gig, but it's legal
gold?
In some places. Yeah, I'm trying to get my hands on some.
We need to get some of this DMT stuff that you
Yeah, sure.
The problem is it's a Schedule I substance. You know,
I have. I have
it's
instructions
real weird
on how to make it
in this country. Their Schedule II is cocaine, meth, heroin, like some of the most horrible drugs.
Pot is Schedule I.
Pot is Schedule I. Mushroom is Schedule I. LSD Schedule I.
Now, Joe, let's talk
the
about
stuff that's never killed anybody. Schedule I.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this float machine that you speak of.
Bubba, let's talk about it.
It's by the way, you can go to Joe. JoeRogan.net, and that's his website.
I feel
and
like I, Joe needs like a lab coat or something. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I got a lot of fucking free time, and I'm into weird shit. You
fighting
know?
And smoking no, shit.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, but you know what? I'm the bridge between the meatheads and the potheads.
How did you find out about this machine, Joe?
Well, the isolation tank, the first time I found out about it was from the movie Altered States.
See, I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, my friend wanted to buy one, so I know Joe was into it, so I was, yeah.
Well, Altered States
was huge in the 80s.
What it was based on was, based on like a little bit of like John Lilly and a little bit of Terrence McKenna, and what it's really about is John Lilly was the guy who invented the tank, and he's this crazy psychedelic pioneer who used to take acid and communicate with dolphins. And one of the things he discovered when he was on acid, he was trying to figure out a way to remove all of the sensory input from the brain's function, like remove sight and sound and feeling and touch and social cues and distance. And what he figured out a way to do is he created this tank where you fill it up with water, and the water is heated to the same temperature as the surface of your skin, so it's 93.5 degrees. And then there's 800 pounds of salt in the water, so you're incredibly buoyant. And what you do is you line this tank, and because of the fact you're floating in it and it's the same temperature as your skin, you don't really feel anything. It feels like you're weightless. It feels like you're flying. So then you pull the lid down on the case, and you're in total silence, total darkness. Your ears are underwater. You don't see anything. It's pitch black. And in the absence of any sensory input, your brain it becomes supercharged. It's like your brain has you're untethered from your body, and you start to go inward. And the first 20 minutes or so is almost like a seminar on your life. You start being really self-analytical. You start breaking down your personality and things you don't like about your life and things you do like, and you know, and things that felt good and things that feel bad and things that you need to correct, and trying to get yourself on a more positive path. And then as that goes on and on and on, as you go through all the bullshit in your brain, it's like psychic clearing. Like you clear it out and then everybody good, okay, now let's see some shit. And then you start to hallucinate, and then you start to have these crazy visions where it feels
like...
Does
it ever freak you out when you want to get out?
Yeah, sometimes it gets heavy.
You know, like, how about a guy like me that, you know, I've never smoked pot, and I ain't done a lot of that shit, and I fucking get into one of these little tanks. Is it going to freak me the fuck out?
You've never smoked pot?
I've eaten pot a few times. Look at me.
The eating pot is more scary.
Yeah, believe me.
I fed him a brownie one
here's
night.
Something that people don't know. You guys heard that clip where the cop got the brownies?
I think I'm dead.
This is why it freaks you out. It's a totally different reaction in your body.
Believe me, I freaked out.
When you eat marijuana, it goes through your liver, and it produces a chemical called 11-hydroxymetabolite. Which is a totally different psychoactive substance that you don't get. Like, your body produces 11-hydroxymetabolite when you smoke it, but it's a different. It doesn't have the same psychoactive effect.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
When you eat it, there's a thing called the one pass, and it's when it goes through your liver, your brain produces this, and it is a fucking incredible ride.
It really is.
So much more powerful than regular weed.
Brent, tell them what happened
you
to
give
me.
You get people brownies, and they're like, this isn't pot, man. Somebody put something in here. Like, that's what it is. It's
so anyways, I never smoked pot before, okay? Call me a fucking homo. So Brent gives me this, his wife makes this fucking brownies? Badass brownie, right? And Brent goes, Bubba, listen, only eat about a quarter of this. I mean, it's big, right? It's like the size of a slice of pizza.
But it's tasty, right? So you just keep going.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. So anyway, I go, well, and I, you know, I've taken Percocets and Vicks and what have not. You know, I usually double. Like, if somebody says take one, I take two. When it says take two aspirin, Brent, I take fucking four Tylenols. It's not a big deal. Look at me. I'm 330 some pounds. So I'm like, fuck this sliver of brownie. I'm going to eat this whole fucking thing, kid. If I'm going to be a bear, I'm going
to
be a grizzly.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Shut up. I'm eating the whole thing.
I hope you brought your jammies, nigga.
You don't have any idea, Joe.
To sleep.
Here's what happened. First of all, I'm laying on my bed. My wife's gone. She took the kids somewhere, right? So I'm like, you know what? I was watching NASCAR. So on a Sunday, I had this big. The brownie was about that big, okay? So I eat the motherfucker. And I sit there, and I'm watching NASCAR, and I'm like, what the fuck's big deal? Is this supposed to be high? All of a fucking sudden, man. I kinda,
like a train.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I can start hearing all these birds and all these, I have sensory overload. So I'm like, whoa, okay, hold on. All right. I'm fucked up. I'm really fucked up. So I just need to go to bed. Hold on. It's exactly 5 p.m. to the T. I look at the clock. It's 5 p.m. on the nose. On a Sunday, I go, okay, hold on, I'm fucked up. I'm just going to sleep this shit off, right? So I lay down and I go to bed and I sleep and I think I'm sleeping. I fucking wake up. I'm thinking, fuck, I've been sleeping a long, long time. It was 5:18. It was only 5:18. So then I get up. And I start getting real fucking paranoid. Like, somebody's out to get me. So I go get all my guns out of my safe, and I put them all around my bed. And I lay down on my bed, right? And I call Brent up, and I go, Brent, what? You can imitate me.
Brent, what the fuck did you give me?
I go, Brent, what the fuck? I got all these thoughts. And Brent goes, start writing them down. I go, write them down. I can't even fucking grab a hold of them.
I got all these thoughts.
I go, Brent.
Look, what you need to do, he's got a home theater upstairs. So yeah. I was like, you need to go up in your home theater, put on a badass movie in HD, and sit, kick back, and relax, and enjoy it.
You watch Apocalypse Now.
I go, Redux,
out of your mind.
I go, shut up, Brent. I cannot leave my room. I'm not leaving my fucking room, Brent. He goes, you're going to be okay. I said, but I got some good thoughts going in my head. You need to talk me through these things. Because I'm cool guy right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, what kind of good thoughts were you having?
I don't know. I can't remember them.
Yeah,
so
you gotta write it down.
I tell Brent now, listen, Brent, I'm fucking cool guy now. That's my name. I go, I'm cool guy. I feel like a cool guy now. I'm super fucking cool. So then I got to the house at noon. I ate it at 5. My wife told me at noon to make sure you take the dog out. So the dog was in its cage. So finally at 7 o'clock, I realized that I was supposed to let the dog out of its cage. And at 8 o'clock, my wife came, and I completely was pretty much sobered up by then. And I just act like nothing was happened. But I had all my guns at one time. I was sensory overload. I was freaked the fuck out.
What you got to try to do is you got to try banging your wife when you're on it. You don't even know what sex feels like until you fuck a chick when you're high on brownies.
Well, you did brownies
real,
one other
man.
Time.
I did brownies.
And it changed your life.
Yeah, you
man.
Said you had porn star sex. On, don't you remember?
I'll tell Joe
everything
that
will feel so much better. It's crazy. It's like everything's amplified. Like everything's being fed through a fucking.
I've only done pot brownies two times. The first time was a great experience, and that's the one I'm going to tell you about now because I ate the prescribed amount. Amanda, his wife again, gave me this little sliver of brownie at this concert. So I go back home. Now, you know, I'm kind of a fat guy, so I don't walk around the house naked, okay? My dick ain't that big. I'm a shower, not a grower, or a grower, not a shower. So I eat this brownie, and I call Brent up, and I say, motherfucker, I'm cool guy, and I'm walking around
again, he's cool guy.
Yeah, I'm walking around my house, buck-ass naked with my boner hanging out, and I'm going to fuck Heather, and I don't even care that she sees me naked right now because I'm so fucking cool.
So why is that illegal?
Wow. Well, I'm not saying it should be illegal.
No, I'm saying why is that illegal? It's a great time.
I mean, you know,
there's a bunch of reasons.
People need to take, you know, people need to get on with this shit.
Yeah. No, well, none of them good, but all of them misunderstood. It was made illegal because of economic reasons. I mean, exactly. It was made illegal back when they figured out a machine called a decorticator that made it efficient to process hemp fiber. See, you know, what people don't realize is they didn't even have a fucking cotton gin. It's like, what was it, like the 1800s? You know, for all those years before that when they made clothes, they used hemp. And the reason why hemp became economically impractical was because slavery became illegal. And when slavery became illegal, cotton was more in favor at the time. And then in 1933, or it's 33 or 35, they came up with this machine called the decorticator. And what the decorticator was, it was a machine to process hemp fiber. And William Randolph Hearst, who had Hearst Publications and had paper mills, he wanted to stop this hemp paper movement.
He was a complete dick.
Exactly. He's a total psycho. He's crazy. I mean, that's where, you know, Citizen Kane and all that shit came from. You know, and what William Randolph Hearst and Harry Anslinger conspired to do was put out these stories about this plant called marijuana. And what marijuana was, that's not even a word for cannabis. Marijuana is a word for a wild Mexican tobacco, completely unrelated to cannabis. And he came up with this marijuana, there's a new drug that's causing blacks and Mexicans to rape white women.
Yep.
So Congress quickly passed, we got to stop this drug.
Marijuana.
And they didn't even know that they were outlawing hemp. And then once they realized they were outlawing hemp, then it became a fucking clusterfuck.
Well, it started with the Stamp Act, right, in 1937.
Yes.
But doesn't that sound very Bush-like? It's like, there's this new drug. It's called, you know, marijuana. It's causing Mexicans and black people to rape white women.
That's a pretty good Bush impression.
And people fall right for it.
Well, do you remember when Reagan said it was one of the most dangerous drugs known to man?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's in that Manson song about pot.
I liked Reagan, but not really.
No.
Man. Old-timer eating fucking jelly beans.
He was just a smarter Bush.
Yeah. Joe is up to fucking speed on this.
I feel like I'm in school right now.
Dude, I tell you, free time, a really smart time, and I'm a fucking idiot.
Manson's like, man, I love this guy.
I do. Well, in the documentary that he was in, the American Drug War, I was like really happy to see somebody of note on there to say marijuana is not bad. Fucking give it a rest.
Well, this whole fucking Michael Phelps thing was a perfect example. I mean, he should have just come up and said, listen, you fucking pussies, all right? I smoke pot. I'm a fucking Olympic athlete.
The best
obviously,
ever.
It
the
doesn't do anything ever. Bad right. to you.
I smoke weed and I want to eat gold medals. Now what, bitch?
There's not more, you know, a more clear example, the fact that marijuana is not bad for you.
Not only is he good, he's the fucking best.
The best ever.
Ever.
I'll give you another name, Nick Diaz. Talk about cardio shape, good shape.
Well, Nick Diaz says, you know, Nick Diaz is a very popular MMA fighter, and he says that pot doesn't interfere with his fighting. Fighting interferes with his pops.
And you can't test, you know, because he has to test negative for it. You'll be hard-pressed to find a guy that's in better cardio shape than Nick Diaz.
Phenomenal. He does triathlons all the time.
I got John from Connecticut. I know you've already answered this one time, but we have to address this, Joe. I hate to do it to you. John, go ahead.
I was just wondering about... the alleged feud with Howard Stern and Joe Rogan here. Howard has nothing but good things to say, and he was always wondering why you don't do his show anymore.
Well, first of all, we did talk about it earlier, but I'm never in New York. I'm in New York like once every couple of years. And, you know, I stopped doing it. I didn't think anyone was going to even pay attention, to be honest with you.
But, Joe, they pay attention to everything.
Well, I didn't think they were. You know, I didn't like, there was some negative shit that was said about me, and I didn't want to come on and defend it. I didn't want to, like,
you just didn't want to have the confrontation.
Conflicts. I was like, what is it? I just slip away and disappear. And, you know, I started doing ONA, and then, you know, I heard, you know, that Howard wanted to get me back on. I was like, but, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go on. I mean, what happened was I was on their show where we did this Vegas thing, and I was listening to the radio once, and Howard had on this girl, Bonnie McFarlane, who's a friend of mine. She's a comic. She's married to this other comic, Rich Foss, and she was one of the writers on The Man Show. And, you know, Howard said, you know, Joe hates women. You know, we had him in Vegas, and we brought him to a strip club, and he was like, ah, get away, whores. And I listened to that, and I was like, that's not true. Like, that's not only is that not true, That never happened. I never said getaway whores to a bunch of strippers, and I'm like, this is stupid. And I was like, you know, what do? Do I go on and defend myself? And then you get into that weird cycle of, you know, like accusing and defending, and like, I don't want to be a part of it. Like,
so let me ask you a question. If, you know, if Howard or Gary or whoever got a hold of you, would you want to go on and clear that up?
It's not.
If you were in New York,
to clear up. What's
okay,
the point?
Well, I'm just asking you know, though. I mean, because you know they want you.
He's, I mean, I don't know what anyone can say. I mean, what is it? I don't like negativity. I don't like conflict. You know, it's not interesting to me.
But you're a great guest. What if they said, okay, let's move on past that? You got a lot of shit to say, and we got a lot of questions to ask you.
Well, you know, I would do it. I mean, I'm not opposed to doing it. I honestly did not think that anyone was going to notice wasn't doing it.
They have noticed, my friend. They made a big, big deal about it.
You're an interesting, talented, funny guest, so they're going to notice. Like, if you didn't matter.
Tom, you're a big-time superstar now. Come on.
Well, the way I was looking at it was like, look, if I'm misrepresenting myself, it's one of two things. Either he doesn't care about me, and he's just saying those things because he, you know, just trying to stir controversy. He doesn't care about, you know, anyone's reputation or whatever. Or I really come off that way. And I'm like, well, if I really come off that way, there's something wrong with me. You know,
right.
If I misrepresent myself so badly, you know, I think there's like, especially when Stuttering John was on the show, there was like a whole gotcha mentality over there.
No, that's very true.
Because like that was when the first time I felt uncomfortable on the show. Like I was on and John came up to got on the microphone once and said I was talking to Joe. You know, he's like, oh, look at all these whores. You know, which is true. I did say that because there was they had this outdoor party by the pool, and there was all these chicks there, and they're all in bikinis. I'm like, oh, look at all the whores.
Right. But I said it like that.
Like, yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at all the whores. You know, and by the way, some of them were prostitutes. You know why I know? Because my friend Larry paid them for sex. All right, and he pointed it out. So when I said, look at all the whores, I wasn't really talking out of school. Like, my friend fucked one of them for money. So, you know, it was. I felt that was, you know, I just like, I don't like that whole gotcha thing.
Even Gary said that when John was there. Now that John's gone, Gary said his life has gotten much better because it's not.
It's John's life has gotten better too. I think he just got all fucked up on that.
Type mentality.
Yeah, the whole thing, man, just ratting on people and trying to, you know, come up with more controversial shit to talk about on the radio.
Because you're so fucking deep. I mean, you're deep, Joe. You're deep.
Well, and, you know, I mean, what does that even mean? You know,
no, I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know,
What I'm interested in.
You got some great shit. You bring up aliens. What do you think about that? I mean, is that stupid?
I think if there are aliens, I believe that Earth is the Tijuana of outer space. That's what I think. I think they only come down here when they're fucked up and they want to see a show. That's actually a joke. That's a joke in my act. I have to qualify that.
So we're like the...
a cheesy joke guy.
The Earth is like the donkey bar for the galaxy.
Yeah, man. They only come here at 3 o'clock in the morning. Why do they come here in the middle of the night? They never here at 9 a.m. Monday morning.
Because they're fucked up and they want to see how the assholes live.
Exactly. They're fucked up. It's 3 in the morning. They're in their planet. And they're like, let's go see some monkeys. Come on, let's get fucked up and go to Earth. Let's do this.
Is that part of your act there, Joe?
Yeah.
Nope. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, his comedy's great. And
By the way, improv this weekend, but I don't think you can get a ticket, to be honest with you.
I think it's sold out.
Like, I've seen...
Spice, I can't even tell you the last time we had a guy that was pimping the improv that said, don't even fucking worry about it.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
I just wanted to come in. I am a fan of the show. I listen to your show the time. And I told you I recited that story about the guy who was... I pulled over. I was late 15 minutes for a fucking meeting. Because I pulled over and I was listening to the story. I couldn't let it go. There was a guy who his buddy was banging his wife and he caught him and he was gonna confront him on the air and crush this guy. And not only did the guy own up to it, but he started going into depth about all the other dudes that are fucking her. He's bringing friends over and they're running trains on her. The guy just got demoralized. It was fucking classic radio. I was pulled over on the side of the road with my mouth on my... just sitting there listening to it.